God bless us all. When we come, we need to come trying to receive something within our hearts. Make sure it's the right thing that we receive. Now what we just hear. I guess see, I'm always talking about this little boy, but his mama, he told his mama, I need my pamper changed in a way. He's small. So she just left him, told him to do it. He took it off and threw it in the commode. Because that's what he had been seeing her do, throw things away. So when you present the wrong thing to a child, they're going to do the wrong things. So when we come to church, make sure that we hear and listen within our hearts and not be thinking something other than what's being ministered to us. Because if we get the wrong thing, we're going to do the wrong thing. But God is here. And so just think of the joy that he gave us. Amen. Nobody gave it to you. Nobody can take it away. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 66, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful for this opportunity you have given unto us to come together to worship. Father, we pray that our hearts will be open and our ears, Lord, we may hear and receive and be blessed by according to things that we had. Father, we pray that when we are with our children, Lord, that we talk to them about your word and let them understand what is real. Lord, they don't do the wrong thing. Let us not say the wrong things or do the wrong things in their presence. But, Lord, let them live and learn by example of what they see. So, God, we ask you this morning, the words that we read and hear, that you will bless them and place them in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works, though thou gather of thy power, shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee.
All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Zion.
Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah.
O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard.
Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou layest afflictions before our loins.
Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
I will go into the house with burnt offering. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. Brother John, would you come this morning and take up our tithes and offering?
Father, we're just inviting you, Lord, to bless the remainder of this service in this day, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. We pray you, good brother, Lord, in a mighty way this morning, Lord God. That's so to speak for our hearts. Father, we lift you up, Lord. We keep our minds and our thoughts on you. We appreciate you. That's the tithe and the offering. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that chorus flow through me. Yes, see.
Amen. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, and as I lift my hands to worship and to your prayer this morning. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, as I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through. Let's sing it once more to him as we just worship him with all our hearts. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, and as I lift my hands to worship and to magnify that name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father, and you are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father, and you are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Let's sing that song, I'll Stand for Jesus. Amen. What an awesome presence we feel this morning. I really believe he's here to bless us and meet every need. Question is, will you stand for Jesus? There's a time that, you know, the scripture says, every son and daughter of God has to be tried in what we stand on, their faith. But I believe he's here to increase your faith if you need him, that we can stand because he stood for us one day. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's start with a chorus. And I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. His promise, for he will supply.
we have here, the less we're satisfied. The only thing that's lasting comes from on high. So I'll stand for Jesus and let this world, is that your desire this morning? And I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. And I'll claim his promise. Oh, he will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. And I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. When it's time to so body of mine, and I don't want one thing this world leave behind. I want to be free to sail through the sky. That's why I'm walking with Jesus and let the world go by. Hallelujah. And I'll stand for Jesus. World filled with pleasure, we're tempted and tried. We've all been there. The more that we have here, the less we're satisfied. There's only one thing, only thing that's lasting, comes from on high. So I'll stand for Jesus. Let's all stand as our brother comes this morning. And I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. And I'll claim his promise. Oh, he supplies.
Something. We might as well stand for the truth. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. We're getting ready to put on a little Christmas program here that Sister Janet and some of the different ones have put together with the young adults and the kids. So if you'll show them a little patience as they get everything ready, we will let them get started here in just a second. I'll go ahead and make a few announcements. Excuse me. Need some water, I guess. Number one, I want to thank everybody for last Sunday for being here and giving gifts to Brother Dale, Sister Dale, myself, and different ones. We sure appreciate that. Thank you for your loyalty of being here and being here during the year. And it's just a little small token that we give back to you as a church, as we gave you a little gift there of some money to help you in this time. So we appreciate that. We appreciate you. We appreciate Brother and Sister Dale for putting all of it together, and the caterers and all the ones that had anything to do with the get-together. I don't like to say party, the get-together. All right, so remember now, as they're getting ready, Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. Okay. All right, and then there will be no service on the 25th. That will be Christmas Day. December the 28th, Brother Daniel Martinez will be with us. That's Rachel's dad, and he'll be speaking for us on that Wednesday, December the 28th. Then on December the 30th, oh, I want to thank everybody last night for coming to the prayer meeting. We had a good little crowd. We appreciate it. It's a time to it's like Brother Bob was talking about. You know, you can come to church if you want to. We can't make you come to church. No, we can't make you come to the prayer meeting. But it sure does help. It helps me to come. I don't know whether it helps you. It helps me to come. So you know, it's a time of you say, well, I can pray at home. Well, yeah, you can. But this is an effort. And God sees that effort. And when he sees that effort, then he'll reward that effort. You come to church, he'll reward you. You don't come to church, and guess what? That's why a lot of y'all have a lot of problems you do have, because you don't come to church. If them quotes wasn't enough, okay, right, brother, right? Everybody believed Brother Brown was a prophet, right? There was four screens up here that had those quotes on it about coming to church. So a real, true, solid Christian will come to church. All right. And you'll get more solid as you keep coming, because God promised he'd do it. Just like paying tithes. If you know, someone said one time, well, I can't afford to pay tithes. Well, yeah, I can't afford not to. I can't afford not to. That comes out first. You know, you give it to the Lord first. Okay. All right. Let me make a couple more announcements. Then you can sit down. December the 30th, because of the prayer meeting last night, I usually try to have it before we have a meeting. And our meeting is going to be on December the 30th on Friday night at 7 o'clock. That will be December the 30th at 7 o'clock. Brother Wayne Lawson will be with us. Spoke to him the other day, and he's really excited about coming. And then on December the 31st, we'll have a normal watch night service. So get your songs ready. Get your testimonies ready. Whatever you want to do. Brother Wayne will be preaching from probably about 8:30 to whenever. And then we will continue till midnight and take communion, just like we always do. And y'all need to bring some finger food, something small. Don't bring fried chicken and you know, turkey and dressing. I've had enough of that. Never mind. Just bring some finger food. All of y'all that's been here before, you know what to bring, so just bring it. On December 31st, that'll be 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock midnight. We'll take communion at 12 o'clock. And then we will not have a service on January the 1st. I'm having an issue with that, because they say that what you do on the first day of the year is what you do the rest of the year. So, Brother Bob, all them quotes you're talking about not coming to church, but people will be tired. We'll be here till probably 2 o'clock in the morning fellowshipping. So we just won't have church on January the 1st. All right. Also, old Brother Trevor Eamons called a few minutes ago, and he said to tell everybody hello. And also, one more thing before we get started. On February the 11th, we were talking about the Valentine's banquet and opening it up to bring somebody, like Brother Donnie said, he'd bring his son and his wife. The reason we're doing that is because of outreach. We're doing this so that people can see the love and see the joy that we have. You know, the Christmas thing is intimate. It's for the tithe payers. It's for the people that come to church. But the Valentine's banquet, it is for tithe payers, and you don't have to pay for anything. But if you bring a guest, you need to pay the church or give it to Terrence or Lisa, $30. All right, that will cover the price, pretty close to the price of the caterer. All right, so you can do that. Bring whoever you want to, as long as they're husband and wife, not wife and wife or husband and husband. You have to cover these things, you know. All right. So just whoever you want to bring. And then we're going to have call Brother Dutch Scott yesterday, and he's going to be with us the whole weekend. Him and Sister April are coming, and he's going to speak for us for about 20 minutes on that night of February the 11th. So we're going to change it up just a little bit. I ask that you do one thing, that you help, because usually there's only been about 20 couples, and that was about 40 people. Now we figure that we're going to double that probably, so we'll need a little more help as far as tables and setting up and getting everything ready. I know Anna, Mama, and Lisa, and Jim, and all the different ones, they try to help to get that thing together to put it on. It is an event. It's not just a gathering. It's an event. And we appreciate everybody helping. And then, like I said, if you want to bring somebody with you, if you're a tithe payer here at church, you do not have to pay. But if you bring somebody with you, a guest, a couple, then you need to pay $30 for their meal. All right? Everybody okay with that? Amen? I just think that we can, if bring somebody, bring your neighbor, bring somebody you know that don't know the Lord. Because we'll have a little ceremony there, and then we'll do our games and our prizes and our newlywed game. You all need to start figuring out what color your walls are and what color your sheets are and what color your man's shoe size is. Those questions will not be on that just because I said that, right? That's right. All right, well, we're getting ready for the play. Like I said before, we appreciate all these Brother Boyd and Sister Janet and the different ones that's putting the play on for us today. So you may be seated, and you need the lights off or on? Yeah. Huh? Oh, yes. Brother and Sister Dale last night or yesterday or day before yesterday got their lift chairs, and they're probably sitting in them right now watching the service. So I got in it last night, and it's pretty neat. I think maybe when I get older, I may have to get one myself. So, yeah, I mean, I thought maybe it would spring you out, you know. No, it just kind of gets you real easy, lifts you up. But it's real comfortable for them to sit in. So we appreciate the church buying that for them. That's what your money bought for Brother and Sister Dale. So God bless you. Lights on or off? Off. Okay. And when you're finished, you can come back up here and sit where you're supposed to sit. Brother Colin and them, you can sit in the front. You don't have to sit in the back. Okay. Leave that one on or not? Huh? That's good. Okay.
Died for me. On the second day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me two testaments. My Savior died for me. My Savior gave to me days of creation, the number of grace. Four Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, two testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. My Savior gave to me seven church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. Four Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, two testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the eighth day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the ninth day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the 10th day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 10 commandments, 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the 11th day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 11 faithful disciples, 10 commandments, 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the 12th day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 12 tribes of Israel, 11 faithful disciples, 10 commandments, 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me.
There were 11 faithful disciples because the 12th disciple, Judas, betrayed Jesus and ran off with the money bag.
On the first day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me my
my Jesus who died for me. On the second day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me two testaments and my Savior who died for me. On the third day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me faith, hope, and charity, two testaments, and my Savior who died for me. On the fourth day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me four Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, two testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the fifth day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me the number of grace. Four Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, two testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the sixth day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 6 days of creation, the number of grace. Four Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, two testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the seventh day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the 8th day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the 9th day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the 10th day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 10 commandments, 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the 11th day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 11 faithful disciples, 10 commandments, 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. On the 12th day of Christmas, my Savior gave to me 12 tribes of Judah, faithful disciples, 10 commandments, 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 Beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 God. Gospels, faith, hope, and charity, two testaments, and my Jesus who died for me. Tribes of Israel, 11 faithful disciples, 10 commandments, 9 fruits of the Spirit, 8 beatitudes, 7 church ages, 6 days of creation, the number of grace. 4 gospels, faith, hope, and charity, 2 testaments, and my Jesus who died for me.
Hey, take that shed leaf back there. Well, I'll give him another good hand. Only Janet Helm could put on a production like that. And everybody else that helped too. But y'all can come back and sit where you want, where you need to sit up front. So we appreciate them. We love them. I won't ever think of the 12 days of Christmas anymore like I used to. Yeah, it won't be no partridge in a pear tree. It'd be the Savior that died for me. Amen. God bless you. Let's now get into the message just for a little while until 12 o'clock, and then we'll remember these announcements. All the different things, Brother Aaron will be speaking Wednesday night. That's all we need to remember day by day for the moment. So I know we all have a request in our heart that we want to take before the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for this talent that we have in this church, Lord, that you have orchestrated and put together in your mind before the foundation of the world. And people have come from all different parts of life and just thinking, standing there looking at all the children, how that they've grown up, some that are growing up more, some that have already grown and married and moved on maybe and having their own children. Lord, we appreciate you for giving them strength and being able to marry good Christian men and women and having children and bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. And as Brother Bob said, we take them to church. Don't send them. Take them to church. Amen. So I pray, Lord, that you just be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Bless us and keep us safe. Be the ones that are sick, Lord. Brother Dale, Sister Dale, Sister Frieda, different ones that are not here, Lord. We pray that you just touch their body, Lord, and give them something from you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just looking a few minutes ago. I told Brother Joe Canada, we were back there praying. You know, we look at time, the time that we have to do things. You know, Brother Brown always talks about, and the history talks about how that John Wesley's wife had ever how many kids, 12, 14, 15 kids, read Bible to them all the time, didn't have a Singer sewing machine, didn't have a Maytag washing machine, but she found time. And I was looking online, I was listening to the Sister Esther play a Christmas song, and do you know that Charles Wesley, his brother, we say a lot about John because he was the prophet of the day, but Charles wrote 6,500 hymns. 6,500. And he didn't have a Xerox machine either. He didn't have a computer that he could look up things. He penned his own notes. He penned his own, I'm talking about notes for the piano and the different things. He penned all that on his own. By the inspiration of God. And then I thought, well, Lord, you know, I went down a little bit further and it said, well, who's the most famous songwriter? I thought Charles Wesley was. Nope. Fanny Crosby. Blind. blind Fanny Crosby wrote 8,000 hymnals and poems to the Lord. Blind, married a husband that was blind. They had several children, and she attended church. They said she attended all the time. That's where she got a lot of her inspiration. Maybe we get some inspiration here today, but think about those ones that you'll meet on the other side. You know, they say, well, they're not bright. Well, you don't know that. I do believe they were for their time. For somebody to write that much inspiration and something that we now still sing. And Fanny Crosby's one of the greatest. I mean, she wrote all those wonderful Blessed Assurance and all the different ones. And she knows one thing. I know one thing for sure. She's not blind today. She's not blind today. She is not blind. She's looking around going, man, this is what I wrote about. But we'll see her. Just as sure as you'll see your wife or husband or whoever it is in a few minutes outside, you'll see those two. And they will be given crowns for writing that, for having the inspiration to write these songs that you and I still enjoy today. And Charles Wesley wrote a lot of Christmas songs, too. So he was... He was a powerful man, and his brother was also. I'm just giving them a little time for them to all get back in here. So we're going to kind of shorten the title down to Son of Man because we're still on Who is This Son of Man, and we're going to get to that a little bit later. But this will be part, we'll still continue with part 74. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Remember we preached on that last Sunday, or last time we spoke, on truth. Now let's look at Luke 6, verse 19. We're going to try to get into the virtue today, not the virtues all, but the one virtue. And the whole multitude sought to touch Him, for there went virtue out of Him, and He healed them all. You may be seated in the Lord as blessings to the reading of the Word. Thanks again for all of you that had a part in it. We appreciate it. We thank you so very much. I know they're putting stuff together downstairs. I'll just be patient with them as they come in and out. But I sure enjoyed that. That was good. That was good. It was a time of reflection that we can reflect back on that God did send us a message from one man, that one first one that came up here. And then all that, I was thinking too, you know, the one standing right here in front wrote the Bible, wrote the Ten Commandments. Picked the disciples, created the world. He did every bit of that. All that whole 12 times, God had something to do with it. Jesus picked the tribes of Israel. Oh, yeah, you say, no, Jesus, yeah, Jehovah. Brother Bram said, Jehovah the old is what? Jesus of the new. We believe in one true and living God, right? So he was the one that created all that that you see. He was the creator God. And Jesus is His name. So let's go now and continue on. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, as Brother Bob was talking about, exhort. We want to persuade you or try to get you to see the Word of God. And here we want to see the Word of God that you should earnestly contend for what? That faith that was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, the truth, not a truth, not a part truth, but the truth. For there are certain men crept in unawares, which we were talking about preachers, you know, being in error and dragging you away from God, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's not going to be, I say this with a heavy heart, it's not going to be at the day of judgment the drunk that's going to be so surprised. He lived that life. He knew he didn't know the Lord. But what about these people that profess to be Christians? And the Bible says the love of God is not in them. What about Caiaphas and all the different ones that approached to Jesus? And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. Well, where are they going? They're not going to heaven. Right? So there is a dividing time. And we see the dividing time coming up now. I want to read you this right here. I haven't read it before, but it's very familiar for all of us. It said, now this messenger of Malachi 4 Revelation 10:7, we know who that was, is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, turn the hearts of the children to the Father. So he, as we were explaining before, we have these great mystery truths that were in the first church age, the second church age, and maybe close to the third church age. And then what happened, man got involved and eroded the truth, diluted the truth. And I say man, Satan through man, did that to dilute the truth and make it to where you can do whatever you want to. I mean, my word, come on, people. There's got to be some kind of holiness for us to live by if we're going to be Holy Ghost-filled people. All right? Something's got to be holy that works outward, that gives us what? Revelation to see what's right and see what's wrong. Like I said before, you look at Pilate. Pilate said, what is truth? You've got these, they're wanting to take a murderer, Barabbas, and let him out of prison. And then they want to take supposedly their leader or the people that, you know, some of the people enjoyed, and they want to kill him. And so Pilate says, what is truth? He just didn't have enough information. You and I cannot say that today. You got to know what's truth. And truth has been presented when the seal's broken. We'll look at this afternoon. I want to bring the seals in with the seven ads. Remember, there's only seven ads, faith, not an ad. It says, add to your faith. So we're going to start really with virtue is the first virtue. Because Brother Brown said, have faith and be born again. All right. So what's going to happen now? What are we under? What is our mandate in the end time? It's not to just be somebody that's like today. It's going to be somebody just, well, you do what you want to and act the way you want to. No, we have a commission that we're supposed to what? Go back to the faith of the fathers. Amen. Go back to one true and living God. Go back to that. That's the only reason we want to go back anywhere. We want to go get that faith. And we had a prophet in the end time go get that faith, and he brought that faith back to me and you so that you and I can have faith. Amen. All right? Because it's the faith that was once delivered to the saints in the first church age has now been delivered to the saints in the end time. Yes, right. In this seventh church age. Everybody with me? Amen. Two, though I turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. He will reveal the mysteries, number two, of the seven thunders in Revelation 10. Don't let that trip you up. We're not going to talk about that today, but you have to include it in here, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Look, it will be these divinely revealed mystery truths, not just somebody that just wrote something in a book, not Charles Dobson, not you know, Max Lucado and all these different ones. They're good. They're nice. They're okay, but they don't have all the truth. They don't have the truth. But he said it will be these divinely revealed, look, mystery truths. Not just a truth, a mystery truth that literally turns our hearts back. In other words, it's going to literally change your body. Amen? This may change your attitude to have you turn back to the faith of the fathers. It may change the way you live, the way you act, the way you are a Christian in the end time. But this right here, the opening of those seals are going to what? They're going to turn us back to young men and women. Yes. Everybody with me? Amen. That ought to make you a little bit more happy. The older ones are okay, but the young guys are still like, oh, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just wait till you get older. Right, Brother Kylie? Brother Kylie's smiling. Amen. It be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. And just for a moment, we looked at the word truth. And I got some really good comments about this because it's something, one word that you look at and it's so convoluted. It's so, well, as Pilate said, what is truth? The Pentecostals are going to church today saying this is truth. The Methodists are going to church today saying this is truth. The Baptists are going to church and say this is truth. Well, I'm kind of like Pilate. What is truth? If this is truth and we sprinkle, are we Baptists and we baptize? Are we believing one or three or two or six or ten or however many gods? There's got to be one truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything has to what? Come out of that. That's why we're talking about the Son of Man, because that's who that was standing here. The Son of Man went to Calvary. God in human flesh went to Calvary. And you and I, as being what? Recipients of that, we can become part of that Son of Man. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word was made flesh. But truth means firmness, faithfulness, sureness, reliability, stability, continuance, faithfulness, reliableness. As I was listening to Bob this morning, reading those quotes, see, I rest my soul on this word of God. I rest my soul that Brother Branham was a true prophet. Not just my body and my flesh. I rest my soul because my flesh and my body, I mean my spirit realm, wars with that. See, it's real easy to walk in a Baptist church with your hair cut, and I've seen them walk in, you know, with girls with shorts on and all this stuff on Wednesday nights and different things. They just don't honor the Word of God anymore. They don't honor that we're going to a place of reverence to what? To meet God. No, they just do like Brother Brown said. It's just a lodge. They pay their, you know, Elks Club fee. I hope nobody's in the Elks Club. Elks Club fee. They pay their Elks Club fee. They pay their Goodfellow fee. And they're good to go to church. Come on, somebody. And they say that's truth. But when the Bible is totally against all that. So we have to read the Bible. Let the Bible be what? Our standard. All right? But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper, shall worship the Father in what? Not just spirit, because you can have the spirit and not have truth. Satan has the spirit, but not the truth. Satan is a spirit, you know, and he's a worshiper. But if you get spirit and truth together, because Brother Brown said one time, he said, Satan cannot stand the truth. He hates it. That's why he hates us. He doesn't hate the world. The world's already gone. He hates us. Because what? We come to a place that we stand, and we stand in a place like Brother Bob was talking about. We believe, Satan, if we come to church, we're going to make you so mad. We're going to make you so mad, but you know what? We're going to come back the next day. We're going to come back the next Wednesday. We're going to come back the next Sunday. We're going to defeat him. He's defeated already. He just don't know it. But we worship in spirit and in truth, and God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. So we got to worship him the same way that he is. And then Jesus says, look, you shall know the truth. So it's not a mystery that some men say, well, I don't really know what truth is. Or I, you know, sitting back over here when they went to Nicene Council, I'm sure there was a lot of people had a lot of different ideas, but they had to hone it down to one idea. Right? They agreed on, though, but they agreed on a creed. They took the Bible and said, well, we don't know if that's the truth or not, all the truth, but we'll take this part. All right? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Bind you. No, it'll make you free. People think we're, and I still, I get it, but I don't. How do people think, well, y'all just, bless y'all, poor old June, her family, you know, she's so bound, she's so in prison, and, well, praise God. Paul was a prisoner of Christ. I want to be a prisoner of Christ. I absolutely want to be somebody that God can use, and use right in the same way with Sister June, but the world looks at you and says, oh, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. As Brother Branham was saying, some say, well, you don't have to come to church. And you think that's out there. That's in the message. Don't have to go to church. You can just sit and listen to or watch. That's not the way God set it up. And you know what? When God wrote that Bob read today, he wrote that before the foundation of the world, Brother John, knowing that we would have the internet. Knowing we would have people sit at home trying to get it for themselves. I was looking at YouTube yesterday and a thing popped up says, listen to this, and it was a tape church, and it said tape church somewhere in Africa, and I said, no, I don't think I listened to that. Why would I listen to something I can listen to when I want to listen to it? Not on Sunday and Wednesday or whenever they do it. So, but anyway, but look, they have been blinded by the god of this evil age. Amen? And it's not the evil. Yeah, we see evil like the different things that are going on out in the world. But the evil, the greatest evil is for us to sit in a pew and die. Yes, sir. That's the greatest evil there is to sit in a pew and just die. John 14, verse 16 said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What is it? The Spirit of truth. That's why we've been harping, every minister, and the ministers out on the internet, and the different ones I've been talking to, we have been harping on getting back to the basic. Getting back to coming to church, reading your Bible, studying, praying. Because if you can't do the small things, you can forget algebra. If you can't put 1 + 1 together and get to church on Sunday. We're going to find out our greatest enemy is not the devil. It's me. I am my worst enemy. I listen to me way too much. Come on, somebody. I listen to me way too much. Well, let's listen to God every once in a while, because he's the truth. And I will pray the Father, and he, look, God knew every bit of this.
Yes, sir.
So he put that provision in here, that he would come to the earth and say, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. What is it? The Spirit of truth.
Right.
Don't tell me the Holy Ghost has got error in it.
No way.
That same Holy Ghost is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Amen? And then when he comes inside of you, now listen, we still have trouble. We still got the spirit realm that we got to deal with. But inside of your soul, if you're born again today, you're just as eternal as God is. You agree with every word that God said because you are God.
Amen.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's why, folks, I'm telling you, don't try to be odd. You're just going to be odd. The world's not going to understand us. The world can't understand how that we strive to do the right thing, to speak. I was at work the other day, and we were talking about something, and they were talking about cursing and saying bad words and stuff. Of course, they're all Baptists and nothing. So they're like, well, I can't help it. I is the first word they said. I can't help it. I said, well, neither can I. And they said, what? I said, I can't help it. But there's one inside of me that's greater than the I. That shuts my mouth when it wants to say something. Don't tell me you ain't had an evil thought. Come on, people. And you really want to say it to somebody, too. Ouch. But that's true. But you know what? We've got that tie post. We've got that thing inside of us, that spiritual rudder that says, don't do that. Don't do that. And even when we do something wrong, it checks us up right then. Doesn't wait. It says, no, right there. Take care of that right now. And you know what we do? We do like Brother Dale says, though. We sit there and we mull it around in our spirit realm, memory, reason, conscience, affect, imagination. And we say, no, I believe it was that person's fault because I really don't like them. And you know what? They probably don't like me. That's why they said what they did. That's why I said what I did. That's why we said what each other did. We start slinging mud at each other. We'll get that in brotherly kindness, so don't worry about that. But we got to get the Spirit of truth. But the Spirit of truth comes inside because the world will not receive you because it seeth him not. Seeth who? It doesn't see the Spirit of truth. It sees you. And you're supposed to be that born in sin person. You're supposed to be that guy that can't, you know, help it when one little slips out. One little XYZ slips out. No. Not if you don't have that in you anymore.
Absolutely.
That's why I said the unclean spirit goes out. Out. And we let him back in. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be inside of you. John 15, 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth forth from the Father, look, he shall testify of me. That's why your life is a testimony. Your life, Brother Brown says, speaks louder than your words. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Not mine, his. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have, look, sent them into the world. Listen, St. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. We can say Psalms is the Lord's Prayer. That's okay. But Psalm 17, verse 17, that whole John 17 is the Lord praying for me and you. Amen. Knowing that we would be just like Peter. Peter, I know Satan's going to sift you like sand. He said, but I prayed for you. That's just like David being an adulterer, murderer, premeditating murder. And Nathan says, David, you're that man. But what did he say? But I have prayed for you. We have a prophet pray for us that said that we would make it. And he showed us how to make it. That's why God had to send us a prophet to show us how to make it. Because we don't know if we're making it over here. We'll make it over here. But we know that this message is true. John 17 says, sanctify them. The only way you're going to get sanctified is through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them. So in other words, we can't put ourselves in a bubble and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm just going to go sit in a cave. Jesus said he sent us into the world. He sent us. Why did he send us into the world? Why? To show him. Look. Even so, I have also sent them, as you have sent me into the world, what? To proclaim who God is. I'm going to send my people to proclaim who God is. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through some truth. That's not what it says. It says truth, the truth. The truth. So there is a truth, and there is the truth. The truth is what we've been presented in the end time. Because God has given us a mandate to get out of here, and we can't get out of here on false doctrine. All right? So, 3 John 1:3 says, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even so thou walkest. Because look, I was thinking about this. You take Brother Branham back in the 60s and the 50s, and I was reading some of the, I was looking up the word medicine, and I went way back in the 50s, and he was talking about medicine and for another sermon sometime. But look, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth. Now, this is John. John goes to Patmos, and then he leaves Patmos and comes back to the what? Believers of the church age. Brother Brown said he was the pastor of the first church age. Remember, Paul was the prophet. Then he died, and then John comes back from Patmos and lives to be about 96 years old, and he becomes the pastor of that Ephesian church. Everybody with me? That's what the prophet of God said. So that's what he done. He come back and he's just overjoyed that they're walking in truth. If Brother Branham could look over the portal of time today, he might not have saw so much when he was in. He saw a lot of Pentecost. He saw a lot of confusion. But he knew there'd be a truth, the truth. And that's who you and I, this is the product of that. And I pray that he's smiling today. That he knows that his children and his brethren are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It would be no greater joy, Brother John, for all my children, natural, to be walking in truth. Amen? So there's no greater joy for the natural or the spiritual to be walking in truth. All right? 1964, the token, Brother Brown said, look, do you believe that Jesus lives and reigns today? Congregation says, amen. Do you believe what I've told you is the truth? Amen. It's the token, the requirement. I only can speak what is truth. Wow. Wow. I only speak what I see, what I hear, what's revealed to me. Watch. And why I say this of the tens of thousands and tens of thousands of times, not one time has it ever failed to be true. How in the world could we deny that we had a prophet among us when millions upon millions of times he used discernment to discern and it was not wrong one time? I don't care if the 12 people didn't fall off the bridge. I don't care if they said he was over here when he should have been over there. Listen to those tapes. You listen to those tapes. That is God discerning the hearts of the people. And that can't be error. That's got to be the truth. Look. In other words, he said, God, if I've told the truth, you got to come on the scene. You got to come and help us. And I'm saying today, if we have God among us and we call out for God, he's got to come on the scene. He's got to come and reveal his word to us. He's got to come and give you whatever you want. Not one time has it ever failed. And listen, I've never seen the word of God fail. I've seen us fail. I've seen me fail. But I've never seen the word of God fail. And that's why Brother Brown says, don't look at me. I'm a man. there was God in a man. Just like there's God in me and you. And he's going to use us. He said, now that has to be God. That has to be God. Well, would God give a ministry? Now look at this. Would God give a ministry like that to somebody that didn't know what they were talking about? I don't think so either, brother. Power without character is what? Satanic. But power with character fit to rule. And when those people walked up in front of him and he gave that discernment, that wasn't Brother Branham. That was God doing it. That was God speaking to us. We truly have had the voice of God speak to us in the end time. Amen. Through a man. And now he's speaking through men and women, sisters, brothers. All of us as we proclaim the word of God. Not some mystery, not some mythical something that we might believe one day and then it's going to fall tomorrow. And you got these that are elevated and then all once they get the swaggerts and all them, they get elevated. And all of a sudden you find out they ain't what they're supposed to be. Everybody, same way. Why would God give a ministry like that to somebody that didn't know what they were talking about? No, the congregation says. Would he identify himself as that seer there and then turn around and give him a mixed up word? He's telling the people, I'm here to tell you the truth. Yes. The guy that denies it is the one that's mixed up. All these people that deny the message of the hour, they're mixed up.
Yes,
I'm not saying they're not born again. I'm saying they're mixed up. They've had their eagle eye filmed over. But if it stays filmed over long enough, they weren't eagles to begin with. Amen. It's the one that's mixed up. And God ain't mixed up. God is his own interpreter. That's why Brother Brown was standing on the platform. He said, if God don't come, in other words, I'm going to make a mistake. But if God comes, he can't make a mistake. So he could literally turn his body over to God and say, all right, I don't know what I said, but it had to be the truth because it was him. And they'd tell him the house number, what color shoes they had on the day before, where they were a week before this. The doctor that looked at him, the doctor had on glasses. He had on a blue coat. He had on a white coat. I mean, it's so detailed because he was looking at it because you know what? God was there.
Yes.
Let's listen. That part of truth. I hope we know what truth is. I hope we're at least trying to understand what truth is. And know that the truth will what? Set you free, not bind you. If you're bound today, you don't have the truth. If you're bound today, you don't have all the truth. Everybody with me? All right? Now, there's some of us that are bound different ways. You know, I'm taking heart medicine. I'm taking, you know, you look at that. But now, truth, I'm not bound in, the truth is truth. It set me free. And if I can just get into that, it'll heal my diseases. That's what the Bible says. So the outside man is a physical being, which is controlled by six senses, or five, rather. The inside man is a spirit man, which is controlled by five senses, conscious, love, and so forth. In other words, memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. And then this outside guy, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But the inside of that spirit is a soul. And that's controlled by one thing, your free will. Your free will. You can accept what the devil says or accept what God says, and that'll determine what spirit is in there. Wow. If it's the spirit of God, it'll feed on the things of God. If it, and it won't feed on anything of the world, as Brother Bob was talking about this morning, how we prepare ourselves. You know, they prepare themselves. They're getting ready to play these big football games and all the different things. They're preparing themselves. They're getting ready. They're getting everything they need, you know, and all, especially the ones that's going to be in the stands. You know, they're going to get their face paint out, and they're going to get their rah-rah pom-poms and all that stuff. They're going to get all that ready. Did you read your Bible before you came to church this morning? Don't raise your hand. Make him better. Did you pray before you came to church? Did you pray to have a good service today? No, some of you didn't because of the way you're looking at me. Listen, it is a struggle to get to church. Especially if you got kids. I'm talking about in the natural part. It's just a struggle. But aren't we supposed to be overcomers? Aren't we supposed to be overcome? That's where we get our joy, and that's where we get our peace, and that's where we get our something from God when we've what? When we've turned it over to him. And let him take care of what's going on. Let him remind us to put gas in the car the day before. And not have to stop and put gas and be late. Devil will do that, you know. But you know what? Most times you. because you forgot to do it. Like I said before, you have some big operation or something the next day, I'll guarantee you, you're going to go out to the car, you're going to turn it on, you're going to say, I got enough gas, or I don't. Run the convenience store. All right. So let's pray and read our Bible before we come to church. Let's prepare ourselves. Not like his brother Bob says, it's just a place to come. It's just not just a place to come. If you don't show up, somebody's going to say something about it. Listen, you know if you're living right or not, so. Okay. So memory, reason, conscience, effects, and imagination. That's what we're dealing with when we start in these virtues with faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, which is not that affection we're looking at right there. All right. That affection is, as we read before, that's the affection you have for your children, you have for your wife. It's called filial love, not agape love. All right. The agape love is agape love. It's God's love. All right. Everybody with me on that? And that's what the capstone is. That's the love of God. And you don't wait till you get up there. When you get born again, you have the love of God in your soul. The only problem is, it's kind of like getting married. You learn to love each other. You don't fall in love, and you don't, no, some of my people. How are you going to take one life and another life, and hopefully you've stayed separate until you get married, but then you've got these surprises because you've never lived, Bob Hush, you've never lived together. I mean, what if you live single? Even if somebody, something was to happen to June and I, or me, vice versa, and we live, 20 years without a spouse, then all of a sudden, somebody comes up in your life and you're like, no, I don't do that. For 20 years, I've got up when I wanted to, put on what I wanted to. You want to do what? See what? But you got to learn to love all over again. That's natural down here. But now with God's love, if you really get the love of God, you don't lose it. You build on it. You build on it. You don't lose it. You don't lose that. And down here, we know that. We lose some of that love. And even now, remember, now what happened in the first church age? In the book of Revelation, it says you've what? Lost your first love. That was the love that what? Was put in the Word of God by John and Peter and Paul and the different ones, the disciples. They had lost that love, that first love. And it became what? It became affection. Because I'm going to tell you something. A false doctrine is not agape love. Because some people love their doctrines. They do. I love mine. I love my doctrine. But I believe it's the truth. And they love theirs and believe it's the truth. But when truth was presented to us, what did we do with it? Did we kick it out, or did we say, well, this is the truth? Hey, man, something's good about this. All right? We'll get to that a little bit more in knowledge. Because you got to know for right from wrong. You got to know whether the word's right. You got to know whether I'm preaching to you this right today or preaching wrong or what Bob said today was right or wrong. You got to discern that. Yes. All right? And these virtues are exactly where they're supposed to be. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
We're going to read this and then we'll probably not even get to virtue. We'll get to it maybe this afternoon. It's 11:43 now. Now, inside of that is a spirit which you become when you're born in the earth. And the breath of life is breathed into him. That spirit is what? Of a worldly nature. So there's nothing about you godly when you're born. Now listen, for those of you that don't understand, if a baby dies, it goes to heaven. Why? Because there's nothing to count against it because it can't make a choice. Thank God. I was reading yesterday where the whooping cough. We talk about the Spanish flu, whooping cough, and all that was in the early 1920s, 1900s. It killed millions of kids. And even Dad's first four sisters, I believe, they didn't live past 2 or 3 months or a year or two because they got some kind of something that there's a cure for now. And they died. All of them are going to be in heaven. We can't fathom that, but Brother Branham walks up and when he kind of goes across the curtain of time or has that dream, and he says, I see this pretty young lady, that young lady standing there. And she says, Daddy, don't you know who I am? In other words, it was Sharon Rose. She died at 6 months old, so she never. But look, in God's mind, that woman developed to that age. That's what she would have developed to, because that was in the mind of God. That's what she would have developed to if she'd lived to be 18, 20 years old. So thank God. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven. And how they all going to fit ain't my business. That's God's business, not mine. I just want to fit in that 1,500-mile square city. That's the only one I want to fit in. That's my home. That's my future home. That's where I'm going to live, not come in and out. That's where I'm going to live. Because every born-again Christian is going to live in that city. And you know what? It's not 1,600. It's 1,500. He made it exactly the amount we needed to get the people in there. He gave Noah the exact dimensions to put eight people and several animals in that ark and no more. Right? So God knows best. The spirit of a world is of a worldly nature because what? It was not given from God, but it was permitted by God. Because God's the only one who can give you breath. He's the only one who can give it to you, and he's the only one who can take it away from you. All right? So that spirit is of a worldly nature because it was not given from God. It was permitted by God. And then that permission lasts until the age of accountability. When you have free will, 12, 13, 14, whatever, and that's up to the person. Brother Brown says when the person knows right from wrong. Well, now, we know that as a little kid, too, but when you get up to a place where you really, that's why even man has set forth rules. You know, you can only drive when you're 16. It should be 20. And the older one says, amen. But now let me get to the older people. There's a time when y'all don't be driving either. Oh, hello, somebody. I got everybody. Learn that. But the law says that you can vote at this certain age because you can make a rational decision. You know, you got to be whatever it is, 20 or 21 to drink. So you're not an adult. You can't make a rational decision until this age. Well, God's the same way. He knows you can't make a rational decision until you get to this age. Then you what? Discern right from wrong, and then what? You got a choice you got to make. Amen? Now you get that. For every child that's born in the world is born in sin, shaping iniquity, come to the world, speaking lies. That's right. So that person inside there is a sinner to begin with. Now it's got five inlets, and those five inlets, we know whether I can call them or not, and it's memory, reason, conscience, faith, and imagination. There's five inlets to the spirit. You can't think with your body. You have to think with your spirit. You can't have conscience in your body. It has no mental faculty at all, this thing. It emulates from the inside. What the inside says do, I move my hands. All right? Your body doesn't, so you have to think with your spirit. Wow. You have to think with your spirit. Wow. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being because reasoning don't see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Reason is what you make up in your mind. So we got to reason today whether the word. The Bible tells us to come and reason together, but then the Bible says cast down reasoning. So we have to understand what they're saying. Come let us reason together is to come and talk about truth. All right? Talk about truth. But you have to reason. You can't reason with your physical body or your physical being because reason doesn't see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Reason is what you can make in your mind. If you're asleep or you're not, your body is lying there dead, but your spirit can still reason. There's five senses that controls that man. Now, the last man, this is what I want to talk about before we close. The last man, which is the soul, there's only one sense. Yes. Faith or doubt, that's it. Amen. Faith or doubt. Free moral agency will choose or to reject it. All right? Everybody with me on that? Let's read this real quick. He's talking about the brass serpent. It wasn't in the brass serpent. It wasn't in the material that made the brass serpent. It wasn't in the material. This is material that holds you together. All right? Though thou knowest there's no virtue in any man. We'll talk about it in a minute, but that virtue has to... The man has to give it an outlet. It has to have an outlet to go out of. Like Jesus was standing on the earth, and the centurion said, I know you're a man of great authority. All right, same way with Peter. Peter said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none. What? There was virtue inside of him. But it what? He calls it, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Yes. Not in the name of Peter, right, or Paul, or William Branham. There's no virtue in the serpent, nor in the brass that it was made out of, or the pole. The virtue was doing what God said do. As Bob said, come to church would be the first thing for you to start on. I saw, you look at Bob sometimes, and Bob knows it's beating up against some people, and you look in his eyes, bless him, because you could see it. I know you could. People will just nod their head and praise the Lord and don't come to church for 3 weeks. Some people touch the garment of Jesus. That's the ones that do this all the time, you know. Some people touched the garment of Jesus and was made well. Others smacked him in the face and hit him in the head. Look, it's the approach. It's the approach that you make. When I approach this pulpit, I don't approach it as just whatever. This is the place that God is supposed to meet all of us, not just one person. And it's correction. And it's a place to get help. It's a place to get nourishment, if you believe it. If you believe it. If thou canst believe, Brother Brown says, all things are possible. All right? Hit him in the head. Some people hit him in the head with sticks and spit in his face. He never felt any virtue at all. They were beating up the Lord Jesus, that was the most virtuous person that lived on the face of the earth. And they couldn't feel nothing but hatred because of what was inside of them. They felt hatred. Same thing with me and you, folks. I'm telling you, when it comes down to the squeeze, people are going to hate you, thinking they're doing God a service. They're going to beat you, maybe even try to kill you, thinking they're doing God a service. That's in the Bible. Thinking they're doing God a service. Not thinking they're just drunk and they're going to run you off the road and kill you, no. No, they think they're doing the right thing. Look, 68 million Christians were killed in the Dark Ages. By who? Christians. Suppose. What killed by the world? It was crusades of Christians, so-called men. Dirty people. It was their attitude of approach. We'll stop right here. Musicians, get ready to come. It depends on what attitude you come in. If you come believing that you're coming to get help, and you're confident that you're coming to the right person, Jesus Christ, and you're coming his provided way of approach, you're going to receive something if you come reverently. That's why, I mean, you may think it's silly or not, but when we prayed last night, I didn't want nothing going on downstairs. I didn't want nothing going on in the sanctuary. I didn't want to stand around hollering and talking. That's not what it was for last night. Last night was for you to talk to God. And the quietness of this whole building, everything quiet. All right? Well, I'll touch and see if you come, say, well, I'll go touch him and see if it helps me. See if it helps me. That won't do any good. It's your approach to God's divine article is what does it. Just like the brass serpent, musicians, come on. Just like the brass serpent, the serpent didn't have any virtue. It was a piece of brass. Look. This is a piece of flesh. You live in a piece of flesh. Brother Branham was a piece of flesh. Everybody with me? But God told us he was going to use those pieces of flesh to defeat the devil with. It's a piece of brass they brought up out of Egypt. Neither did the pole have any virtue in it. Not a bit. But it was obeying what God said do. What brought the power. What brought the virtue is obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God. Let me read this real quick. Everybody stand. We'll start reading out of the Statue of Perfect Man this afternoon. Brother Branham said, look, we're not building an organization. We're not building a Branham organization or putting him as the head. Christ is our head. He's part of it. I'm not here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build what? Individuals. Individuals to the what? Stature of Jesus Christ. That they might be. Come on, somebody. That power has now been transferred that they might be the powerhouse and dwelling place of the Spirit by his word. By his word, see, build up the individual to that place. Not build an organization to a greater denomination, but build the individual, the sons and daughters of God. That's the idea. Add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge. Well, now you're coming to a place. And we'll talk about it this afternoon. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Oh. This thing right here is nothing. It's what's inside. What's inside of you. And it's how you approach God. And the blind to see. Open prison doors. Set the captive free. Oh, there's a river of life. Where will God from me? Bring up a well within my soul. Bring up a well and make me whole.
Bring up a well
and give to me. Goes to out in the woods and he finds this little stream coming. There's one on my route, and I think about it all the time. It's right on the side of the road on my mail route, and it's just water coming up out of the ground. There's a little bitty, like a ledge. And boy, when it rains, it's like a river. But when it doesn't rain and it hadn't rained for months, they still a little trickle coming out. And it makes a little stream about that wide. So it doesn't ever stop. But I thought, Brother Brown said, well, said, Spring, if you could talk, said, you come out of that ground for the deer. No, even though the deer do get nourishment out of my water. So, well, you come out of the ground because of the squirrels or the rabbits or whatever, you know. He said, no, that's not it. Brother Brown said, I'd say, well, Spring, why? Why are you coming out of the ground? In an odd way, because springs are kind of odd. They come out of the ground where you don't see a river running, you know, it just comes up out of the ground. He said, if that spring could talk, it'd say there's something inside of me. The only way that spring can come out of that ground, because what is a spring? It's water that's down in the ground. You hadn't dig a well. You hadn't dug a well so it can come up through so you can get your water. No, it's pressure. And it's found a little crack. It's found a little bit of something and it just keeps pushing. And all of a sudden it breaks out and it starts running. What is it? It's something inside. It's the pressure from the inside. It's what pushes that spring out. And then the deer can drink. And then the rabbits can drink. And then the men can drink. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Oh, make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Oh, let prison doors set the captive free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out. Why? Nothing pushing. Bring up, oh, well. You're dismissed. Be back in 2